Good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Randy Christman, chair of the commission, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert, and I believe Commissioner Fedorchak is on the phone calling in. Are you there and able to hear us, Julie? Okay, I expect she'll be calling in momentarily, so we'll go on anyway. This is an ETC request from Consolidated Communications Network. The case number is PU-24-168. It is just a couple minutes after 3 p.m., July 8th, 2024. I don't have any opening comments. Did you, Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert?
No, I do not.
Okay, staff, anything else? Okay, so we'll first go around the room and have everyone identify themselves. We've already done that, but on the recording for the record. And then typically we just have the applicant go first, and so you can kick it off then. But first we'll go around and everybody state their names for the record.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Victor Shupp, PSC staff.
Brian Persan, General Manager, Consolidated.
How do you spell your last name, Brian?
P-E-R-S-O-N-N-E.
Thank you.
So just go right ahead, Brian.
I'm here simply to answer any questions that you might have on the application. I'll give you a little history about Consolidated. So,
I'm going to interrupt you because I forgot to say something on the record that's important. This informal hearing deals only with undisputed facts. If anything comes up that is under dispute, we'll have to close this and schedule a formal hearing. Sorry for the interruption, but that's okay. Part of having an informal.
Now, it makes sense. I'm not aware that anything's been filed against the application, so I'm not sure that there's anything in dispute that I would not be able to talk about. But so Consolidated is, we have two different companies. We have one that is a cooperative ILEC, and then we have one that is a competitive LEC. This application is made by the competitive LEC. Our cooperative business has been in business since 1961, and it is an ETC today, so it's able to offer lifeline discounts to eligible customers. The CLEC is a limited ETC and has ETC status today in rural Gladstone, and that was necessary because we got funding through the Rural Broadband Experiment Program 8 years ago. And so in order to qualify for that funding to build fiber out to Gladstone, we had to become an ETC for those census blocks. The application before you today is basically to allow us to be an ETC in all of our competitive service area and offer lifeline discounts to customers. And the reason it's coming up today is we are just coming off the end of the Affordable Connectivity Program, the ACP program, the federal program that allowed the $30 support for broadband. In our competitive area, we have 275 customers that were taking advantage of that. And now that that program has ended, because I'm not an ETC, I have no way to help them with any kind of low-income programs because we're not able to offer the lifeline discount. So that's really
then
what
the competitive area is. Which
the competitive area would be Dickinson, Gladstone, Belfield. It is kind of that central core. Everything around those areas is served by our cooperative. So you're talking the Dickinson Exchange, the Belfield Exchange. Gladstone is actually part of the Dickinson Telephone Exchange, but those are the areas. And there's a map as. And part of the application, and I can kind of explain on the map. It's pretty straightforward, but there's two shaded areas. The gray shaded area is our competitive service area. All of those gray areas we have fiber built out to. So anybody that wants service in those areas today can get it. The purple area is currently under construction, and even since this filing, it's not quite up to date because we've now actually completed all of the construction south of Highway 94 in the Belfield Exchange, and the construction crews have moved into the north. The goal is to have that completed by the end of the year. So in the what we're trying to do
with... To have the north completed by the end of the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What we're trying to do is make sure that any customer in these service areas that's served by our CLEC, if they're low income and they need support assistance, that we're able to offer that to them. So it may not seem like a lot, but to a lot of people, that $10 of support that they can get each month to help pay for internet, it makes a difference between keeping it and not keeping it. And I think what we all figured out during COVID is that for work and school, it's critical. I mean, you have to have access to it. And so that is that. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I was trying to kind of give you the groundwork for why we're doing it, what it's going to cover.
Brian, can you explain again to me the gray area, what you mean by a competitive area?
Right. Okay, so on the map, the gray area, we serve all of this today. The purple areas are actually under construction.
Right.
The gray areas have already been constructed. Those gray areas, we are not an ETC in, and so we're asking for ETC status in those areas that we've already built fiber out to, so we can offer that discount if they want it. And that's what I was saying, that on the map, that purple, all the purple stuff on the west side, if you look at where Highway 94 runs through, all of the purple to the south has actually just been finished. And so we have about 200 miles of fiber that we put in there and about 200 customers that are now have fiber drops to their houses. So they're able to get service where they weren't able to get it before. So the goal is ETC status, obviously, in anything that's shaded, either purple or gray, but we wanted to make the distinction because I didn't want anybody to think that we were representing that we were done in Belfield because we're not quite done there yet.
Randy, this is Julie. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know I got connected about 5 minutes ago, so I'm here and listening. Thank you.
Okay, and Brian Prasan is the manager of Consolidated, and he's the one that's in the room with us, as well as Victor.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here, too, Brian, but I think she meant him.
Aren't we just witty today?
Did that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
So, we get a lot of these.
Yeah.
This one big difference I noted that I just want to ask about, you use your own facilities where most of the ETC applications we get are using the facilities of others. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Everything that we do, we own all of our facilities. In the very beginning, when we formed our competitive company in Dickinson, and that would have been 1999, we were leasing facilities from CenturyLink. But since then, we've stopped leasing and we've built out our own facilities. So everything that you see here is actually served by our facilities. There's no leasing anymore.
And this offering will be unlimited local calling, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, with local service, we don't limit calling.
Yeah, a lot of the others do. And I just wanted to point out some of these distinctions. And
other than long distance, I mean, if they live in our service area, that it's included as part of their dial tone package, assuming that they take dial tone. I mean, what we do find is that in the lower income, they're usually making choices. They don't usually have both. And it's just about dollars. they're not able to afford both services. But if they, the way the Lifeline works is, so if they take dial tone only, they would be eligible for like 5 1/4 off a dial tone service. But if they take internet, they're eligible for $9.25. So most of them choose to take internet, and they because they get more benefit from the Lifeline program for doing that.
Staff, did you have any questions?
I've got a couple. I just want to clarify into the record. I Brian and I have kind of already worked through this offline, but I just wanted to make sure it's clear what the request is. So you're not seeking high-cost universal service support for any of this area. Lifeline only is what you're requesting. You're requesting it for both colored areas on the map that's Exhibit B to the application.
Correct.
And really, you're purpose of it is so that you can offer that discount to mm-hmm. your customers. You're not trying to add customers necessarily. You just want to be able to offer that.
No, I just want anybody that's a customer today, I don't want them to drop service because they can't afford it. And when we started to see some of that when that ACP program went away. Or they would start shopping around. They would, you know, they would call CenturyLink and see if they could get internet. And unfortunately, the answer is not always a good one there. So I just wanted to have an offering for anybody that was eligible to do it. But all we're asking for is ETC status to do Lifeline. It has nothing to do with high-cost support. There's no programs that we're asking for, any of the, you know, that would be tied into. It just gives us the ability to offer that and then apply for those that discount reimbursement through USAC.
Certainly. That's a very good distinction. Do you know approximately how many customers you serve in North Dakota?
For which type of service? I mean, I can give you ballparks for everything. I mean, we have about 17,000 broadband customers. That covers both our CLEC and our cooperative together.
Okay.
And then roughly 8,000 dial tone customers combined between the co-op and the CLEC. And then video customers, 5,500, and dropping steadily.
Okay. Do you know approximately what the split is between the CLEC and the ILEC?
For?
Primarily for voice, but I guess voice and broadband would be interesting. And
yeah, I mean, we're probably looking at, it's probably 50-50 on voice. There's obviously many more customers in Dickinson just from a number standpoint. But in the cooperative, almost everybody has dial tone, and so you know you're looking at about 45 to 5,000 in the cooperative, and then you know maybe 4,000 in Dickinson and the CLEC for dial tone.
Okay.
Internet, that one's going to be probably 8,000 cooperative, then the other 9 would okay. be Dickinson, Gladstone, Belfield. Because we do serve the town of Belfield today. That we overbuilt years ago. What we're doing right now is the more rural stuff.
Sure. And the reason for the question is, you know, as you're probably aware, so one of the Lifeline requirements requires a demonstration that you're not only relying upon Lifeline support to...
You mean from a company standpoint?
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you financial data if that would help. I mean,
I don't need the financial data. I think that does a good job of kind of demonstrating. You know, we have 9,000 broadband customers, 5,000 voice customers under this company name that we currently serve without any of that high cost or Lifeline only support. I guess to me that's a good demonstration. I guess I can't speak for the commissioners, but that satisfies my question on that one at least. And since you're using your own facilities, you don't have a requirement for a. It was just in my head and it left. Compliance plan with the FCC.
No.
And you're offering the required services pursuant to the Lifeline requirements.
Yes.
And the service area and. So you've included both the census block information and the map data. Is there a preference of one versus the other that you'd like the designation to be based upon? I'm not sure if there's any kind of difference between.
No, I don't know that it makes a difference. We just wanted to make sure that when we were presenting the information that, because sometimes if I give you 60 pieces of paper with numbers on it, it's hard to understand what exactly a person's trying to do. So that this was just a visual so you could see that all those census blocks that are listed, they're contiguous, they sit right next to each other, and that we're not just picking and choosing, that we, you know, we cover the entire area.
Sure.
And that's what we want, you know, we want to be able to offer the
okay.
Lifeline in.
So maybe like if I'm trying to write it up with words, I would probably say that the area that you're asking for designation is the census blocks listed in Exhibit A and depicted within the map in Exhibit B.
Yep. Because I think that what's going to happen is from a USAC eligibility standpoint for being reimbursed, we would have to show that we're an ETC in the census block where a customer is receiving that benefit.
Sure.
So the numbers are important to them. But like I said, it's so many numbers. I just thought a map was going to be easier for people to wrap their head or, you know, their arms around it.
I agree. We do like maps here a lot. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's all the questions I have. So,
one more time, Sherry, any questions?
You're in your service area, maybe I misunderstood something, but I just clarify, you know, in the service area, you're only going after the discounts to customers that have it right now.
No, if there's a new customer that, you know, would meet the criteria for low income eligibility, they could apply for it. But see, what happens today is like, so in Dickinson, if a new person moves into Dickinson and they're eligible for Lifeline mm-hmm. Benefits, because we aren't able to offer it to them, you know, they might call the office, ask if it's available. The answer will be, we're not an ETC. We can't provide that in Dickinson. And then they would continue to find, you know, most likely they would go to CenturyLink for that. And so it could potentially be new customers if they requested it. And that's true today in our cooperative service area
okay.
because we've been an ETC there for many, many years. Anybody that all, if their eligibility status changed and now they were low income, they could apply for it.
Okay.
So, but we do, like I said, we did have, we had 350 total in the ACP program. 100 of those were in our cooperative service area. 275 were in this area. And so those are the ones that I'm mostly concerned about, because the other 100, even though the ACP went away, because we were an ETC, they could just shift over and apply for Lifeline. But in these areas, that's not possible. When they lost ACP, they just lost it. And then it would either mean not having service or trying to find somebody, you know, that was able to offer them ETC service.
Okay. Thanks.
So this surprised me because I just would have always guessed that the CLEC in Dickinson was the ETC a long time ago. The ACP, I can't remember when that started, but it doesn't go back, you know, a decade.
Not even a couple years. It started in 2020 when COVID hit. It was a program that they rolled out to help people afford internet.
Do you know why this was never applied for in the Dickinson area before?
I can tell you why. I mean, we've actually had some conversations about that, so it kind of predates me, and so I don't know 100%, but my guess is in the beginning, because we were leasing facilities, that we didn't apply for it because we didn't have our own facilities to do it. And then, I mean, you know, every year we were putting $3.5-4 million of fiber into the ground in Dickinson, converting it from old coax. And so it just takes a long time to get that done. And I think that's why. I think in the beginning, because we leased facilities. And, you know, and it never became an issue until recently.
Okay. Did that conclude your questions, Sherry?
Yep.
Julie, did you have any questions?
Nope, I don't. Thank you.
One more time for staff. Okay, so are there any objections to the evidence produced becoming part of the record? That would be the materials that was sent in advance, as well as the recording of this discussion?
No objection.
None from staff.
Okay, so the evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Just one more time around, are there any other matters for the record? Hearing none, this informal hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.